Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright lights. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hello, you guys.
Good evening. Very happy to be here this evening.
So am I.
A lot of new news coming out there with the...
Audience, we had a pre-show that included many, many current events and how they're joining together in terms of recognition of world stage players on one level, but this same stage can be found at your corner church. And we'll go with current events, and then we have a Brother Bill short study, and we'll finish up with Revelations 13 study. Brother Chris.
Yeah, this week was a pretty eventful week. We're all in the same boat. You know, everybody's watching. It, I have to say, though, in our little group here, it was actually pretty quiet as far as... I know everybody was watching, but people weren't saying too much. I know everybody's probably feeling what I'm feeling, just a feeling of, I was on the phone with somebody tonight, and we were trying to figure out what to call it, but it's like a sackcloth and ashes, somber feeling of dread for, the people we love that are caught in this snare, and at the same time, you know, just the peace of entering into thy chamber and shutting thy door about thee, and it's just so important right now for God's remnant, elect, remnant believers, to just be sure you are covered, you know, to be covered by the sacrifice of the cross, to be on the right side of the plumb line. You know, to be in the truth, because it's just so obvious, this judgment that's coming on the land. And, God is just so awesome, the way He assures us that He will protect those who are accounted worthy to escape. And, Bob and Bill have just done a fantastic work on escape. And, there's a third part floating in the works right now, so that'll get posted sometime soon. It's just all coming together. The Lord's just working on all of us in different areas, but it's just so exciting, like tonight, to come together and to see what we've all got that the Lord's been showing us. I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it. And I got a couple of current event items. Unless you guys have something that you want to share before I hog the mic.
No, go right ahead.
Chris, I just wanted to say one thing about us getting together, audience. That's you two.
Yes, absolutely.
It sure is.
And, amen.
And it brings our hearts joy to work for you and to try and study ourselves approved and look at this gospel in terms of our studies being able to give the proper rendering, because at this time all of the diminished word Bibles, all of the deceptions are just, gentlemen, would you say that this was bigger than you could ever imagine on the scale of, we discussed it in pre-show audience, I said, you know, there's very little seed and lots of tares.
Yeah.
Right.
Anybody, yeah. And I'm...
It just, you know, from my walk with the Lord, 30 years, 28 years, you know, I never even fathomed that it would end up like this, that this is how it was going to end, that, you know, the whole thing got down to an internal struggle in the church.
That's, you know, absolutely, it's the struggle from the wheat and the tares.
Yeah.
See, the wheat and the tares are growing up together, like we've so many times discussed this. That's right in the church. And we don't know what's going to turn to produce a grain on the end of the wheat. The wheat produces a grain and it can be threshed. And the tares go black and they're not going to be threshed.
Right.
And this may not happen, you know, right up to the very end, you know, but, you know, God is the one that knows every heart. You know, that determines whether, you know, there's a black tear there or there's a multitude there. Or
you know, it's not for us to decide who the tears are.
Yes.
But right. It is for us to decide.
We're not
to pull them up. Right. But we can certainly just call it like the Holy Spirit in us has showed it. You know, you call the balls and strikes, you know, like a good umpire.
Yeah.
If it's a foot outside, you just can't call it a strike, you know, even if you'd like to. Now, that doesn't mean we pull up the tares and we call the batter out, but, you know.
No, it's not for us to know the tares, but it's for us to know the wheat or the barley, you know
and,
what I mean?
And that is the goodness of us getting together.
Yeah.
That is the joy in your brothers and sisters in Christ, because you're studying the gospel to know what the will of the Father is.
I mean, you take Judas Iscariot, for example. He may, in many ways, look like, you know, a good wheat, but he went bad.
Yeah.
And then certainly Paul looked like a black tare, so.
And, you know, and this is the people that don't, you know, the church has absolutely no, I don't want to make it that generous, but it's that extreme that, you know, so the church doesn't understand the character of God. To understand that God himself sets the snare, like he did for Judas. He saw iniquity in Judas's heart, so he made him the treasurer. I mean,
exactly.
this is our God. I mean, the goodness and severity. You have to understand both. And he, you know, it says that in Jeremiah, you know, in the description of the judgment of Babylon, that I will set a snare for thee, O Israel, and you are caught. And, you know, you got to realize that God's the one that sets the snare. God's the one that sends them strong delusion. And, you know, that's what I maintain, you know, that you know, we agree here. But the, you know, the threshing floor that we're talking about is deception.
And actually, you know what, too? Even we know that God does this because he uses his servants, the his vessels of wrath. But it's kind of a self-fulfilling thing, too. If you walk away from God, the only thing left is the devil.
Yeah.
So, you know, what good can come out of that? It's almost like, you know, I don't like using the word, but it's really the same principle as karma. You follow the devil, and that's what's going to be there. You know, you can't go out and follow the devil all day and then expect God to be there.
Right.
It's almost like it just self-fulfills itself.
And the confirming scripture audience is Exodus 4:11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So in every generation you have the wheat and the tares, and they go through their various lives, and then they have death. Now, the wheat has life, and the tares have death and judgment. And the wheat know the Lord. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are with him. They are built into his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the tares in their lives are identified as serpents and scorpions. They're the pride of man. And I don't think there's ever been a time, gentlemen, that we see the pride of man at its peak.
Right, it's really up there. Boy.
Because the pride of man wants a new world order.
Yeah, and that's the beast. It's the first beast is pride. Leviathan.
That's right.
I'm really seeing that, Bill. Lord really revealed a lot about that to me this week. The beast is the first beast is pride, and the second beast is lies. It's so obvious. You see that.
Once you've been lied to for so long and told so many flatteries, you just become so proudful. And just like it said with Eve in the garden, desired to make one wise, and then you'll be as gods.
Yeah.
So you become the beast. Man is going to vote himself the beast in. He's going to vote himself his own antichrist system.
And I would point to the leavening of the seminaries with the new Bibles and study Bibles, Schofield and such, Moody's. That was probably the biggest purging of this gospel ever.
That was Krakatoa.
Well, you know, the seminary, well, like, what do you guys know about the history of the Ivy League schools? I mean, those they were actually seminaries, weren't they, at the beginning, with Yale and Harvard and.
Well, they did get taken over, infiltrated by the Jesuits, and that's when they went bad. You know, how good were they from the beginning, or how much? You know, I mean, like obviously they're way better than anything now. They actually had some kind of real learning in the colleges back then. You know, the King James scholars were. You know, and William Tyndale went to. Where did William Tyndale go to? He spoke six languages.
Cambridge, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he only lived to be 40. So at the age of 30, he was probably, or 25, he was so educated he helped develop the English language. You know, he was a very strong proponent in there and extremely learned. So they learned something in the colleges back then.
Oh, absolutely. The public now, this generation, is a TV generation.
Yeah. Indoctrinated.
And their reading level and comprehension level, I would say, at least in the United States, has to have dropped.
Oh, it's dropped like a rock. I mean, they're actually, you know, the English languages have been in a decline for 250 years, but, you know, it's really in a decline now. Everything else is declining since 1947, and you know, when you just go out and listen to people talk, it's just pure slang, you know, pure slang.
Yeah.
it's a lot of it is just ghetto talk, ghetto speak.
Well, I just see it on the various websites, the mispronunciation, sentence run-ons.
Well, I see also a lot of profanity all over the websites. You know, people just can't speak without speaking profane words.
Oh, I know.
I'll go to Kitco maybe to read some of the forums in order to, catch a few ideas on the. They think gold and silver is their savior, by the way. That's their anointed savior is gold and silver.
Well, if you're a gold investor, it's a good time. Precious metals is going to hedge.
Right. But they truly think it's the answer to all things. Yes. And the multitudes haven't woken up. According to them, all of what they call the masses, all the what they call the multitude, what we would refer to as the multitudes, is they haven't woken up yet because they don't know about gold and silver.
I don't think they're going to have a chance to know about it. It's already passed.
But the point is, that's the point I'm making, is their God has become gold and silver on that. That's what they think is going to save them. But anyway, you'll just read some of the posts, and because there are a couple guys on there that are fairly sharp economically, and I like to read what they have to say.
Yeah.
But you'll see so many posts, just people using profane four-letter words. It's just commonplace.
Which is a sad state of affairs. That's what we're looking at, audience. We're looking at a sad state of affairs. We have ongoing... what is going on, Chris? Did you have a chance to check on the Middle East situations?
Well, I saw today that the Israeli embassy in Egypt is under siege. Not good. The day before the 11/11.
Israeli embassy where?
In Egypt.
In Egypt, okay. In Egypt.
They're not pumping it up, but there is there's an article on it, and I don't see it. It's not going postal yet, but it's
Well, I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, the story's there, so I don't know. But if that's the case and it escalates into something, it could be very significant. But boy, I'll tell you, all eyes are on that little land in the Middle East, Israel.
That's the little horn with two eyes.
Yeah, what's the deal with the two eyes?
Double-minded.
Yeah, where did you? Is that
double
is
vision?
That,
huh?
Yeah, the little horn with two eyes. I mean, I get what you're saying there. I saw
it's
you
just
post
a signature.
That.
Yeah, right. He's this double vision. So no matter what he does, he's still going to be divided against himself or whatever.
Yeah, which is what's
going
on.
Singular eye in Christ Jesus and everything, and we're all of a single eye and a single mind.
Right.
And you, audience, if you're unfamiliar with our shows, if you pronounce the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in Israel, they arrest you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to hook up with fleshly Israel in terms of identifications or propagating fleshly understanding of this piece of real estate in the Middle East. I assure you, you know them by their fruits. And all of our studies identify the beast that was not, and shall ascend is Israel. Fleshly Israel, who is not in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Who outlaws the name Jesus Christ.
And it's the only way to salvation.
That's why that's the purity of the Antichrist.
And has the followers of Jesus Christ reverencing him.
They're following after the beast.
It's the epitome of a codependent relationship.
It's the epitome. It's pure irony once again. I mean, it's...
Yeah, maybe the church in Israel needs counseling.
And audience, what we're trying to do in our shows, and on one level, all we want to do is this gospel.
Right. Point you to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And, that is the sole focus of this show.
Right.
And in our studies, we found a metaphorical understanding of key identifications that open up this gospel to give the proper rendering of Scripture. Now, what we're talking about tonight can be found in Psalms 146:8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Now, this blindness is related to all the healings of our Lord Jesus Christ. When someone was healed by the Lord or the apostles, they preached this gospel. And they spread the good news. And as we're discussing these, this will be the Glenn Beck, Kufi, John Hagee connection. If you're older audience members, you'll be lively stones and know this now. And you have the identifications of serpents meeting with scorpions, thistles, and briars. And that's current events on a national basis. That's coming up, isn't it, Chris?
It sure is.
You want to give the background?
Yeah, that was where I was kind of getting some other stuff out of the way, because this week, that was the bomb of bombs that I don't think it's the biggest thing I've seen yet. And the fact that, whatever they did with Glenn Beck, canceling his show or firing him or whatever rhetoric you know, dialectic, you know, theater they're pulling off there. The same day, he was announced as the keynote speaker at CUFI this year, the CUFI convention in Washington, D.C.
And let me give the audience a background, just if they don't know, Christians United for Israel. Okay, now, again, you cannot pronounce the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in fleshly Israel, in the Middle East. You will be arrested and jailed. And you have some, we identify him as a scorpion, spirit of a scorpion, is an analogy for spreading this false doctrine of Christians united for Israel.
And in the spirit, that's the ultimate oxymoron. You know, in other words, Christians united for Christians, or Israel united for Israel, because the two terms are interchangeable. You know, in the true rendering of Scripture, you know, in the spiritual rendering, and this is the problem. You know, this is what Satan has done. He's successfully confused the identity of the Christian. And you know, anyone that has followed our shows or the Third Day teachings or whatever your understanding level is as far as what's taking place with these movements, you know, we went into this early on. It was our first, really our first series as far as I remember, when we did expose all the apostate movements. You know, we identified the big three. You know, and the first one is the purpose-driven thing, which, you know, it's interspersed and amongst this thing. But then the other two...
That's the one that's actually going to die out, I think.
Yes, yeah, they mortgaged their big churches.
Right.
All that did was just, you know, they helped to put leaven in, and it helped to break down society, and it helped to break down the church.
Well, you'll be surprised. I heard Rick Warren in a stadium. You know, he had the whole, you know, he's definitely got dominionist roots in him big time. There's
question
about that.
To more dominionism, no question about that.
Yeah, it's definitely part of the dominionist side of
but
things.
The prosperity thing is kind of going to go away, and a lot of that stuff is going to go away, and they're going to shift into these other ones.
Well, see, what they did is they polarized them. And, you know, and then as these poles are, you know, the electricity between these poles. But, you know, the real...
gathers synthesis.
Yeah, the real monster is this dominionist movement. You know, but we've been saying, you know, basically Bill's been clear about the fact that neither of these movements could get this world war going on their own. They had to come together. And this is what we saw this week with Glenn Beck being the keynote speaker at John Hagee's CUFI, Christians United for Israel. I mean, this is a week after Newt Gingrich spoke at John Hagee's church. And, Gingrich is a mover and shaker in this dominionist Christian right
absolutely
movement. You know, he's a Knights of Malta. And, you know, the leader of the dominionist movement ultimately is Rick Joyner. He's in the Knights of Malta. And, you know, he's got this whole dominionist Kingdom Now, crowd rallied, of which, you know, Sarah Palin's a part of. But this thing's all, you know, that's that whole camp of probably, you know, in the public eye, you know, Glenn Beck is right at the forefront there, who happens to be a Mormon, who happens to be basically about the, you know, confusing the identity of Ephraim and Manasseh, because this is what the Mormons believe. They believe they're the physical tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. And we know through our study.
Is that, I didn't mean it, is that with the magic underwear or not?
Both.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, all right, Bob, that's enough of that. No, any of you folks know about the Mormons have the magic underwear, and we're dead serious here. We're not even going to go there right now, but if you want to look that up, type that in, you'll see.
From their star god, Kolob.
But really, the big thing is here is Satan is absolutely attempting to confuse these identities in these end times, because Ephraim and Manasseh, we know, is a type and shadow of the multitude. The multitude's multitudes in the valley of the decision. The two witnesses. You know, this is the end time church that, will be ministering God's power as he returns. You know, the coming of the Son of Man is the tribulation, and it's a period. It's a period of time. It's, you know, the third day is when things are reconciled, when the Lord restores creation, the creation that is groaning right now. You know, since the fall in the garden, you know, we have been, you know, under bondage. And the Lord, when he returns as king, is going to reconcile that. But this doctrine is so twisted today, in that we've got the Christian church believing that they're going to do it themselves. And it's actually, you know, as we're watching this, and like our good friend Steve Knox, who's a part of our forum, you know, the Fence Along the River forum, who is in charge of that, has a really good perspective on how this thing is going to evolve. But it seems like what it's going to really be is the fact that the Christian church will be the Savior, not Jesus. The church body. I mean, this is the arrogance and pride that
absolutely
has been building. This leaven has been interspersed. The woman mixed in leaven into three measures of meal. And, you know, there again, three. And we see those three measures
and
of meal.
And she mixed it. The woman mixed it in the... She said this was likened to the kingdom, and that's what they're trying to build. That what's so key in that, and I've been the more I study that parable, the more things I see in it. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven.
Oh, yeah.
And now the woman is the church. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to build the kingdom of heaven, like you said. They're trying to do this instead of have Jesus do it. They're going to be the saviors and build the kingdom.
And audience, it's at this stage, after 9-10 months of studies, two or three years each of just coming to the truth and reconciling some very simple parables of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we were admonished to understand the true meaning of your generation, what's happening in your generation. This is happening on a, let's say, at the United States media is covering all these big events. But these big events are happening at your corner church, in your town, where you're at. These same type of meetings. And the gospel is not being preached in the churches. And very few people have the proper renderings of scripture to understand and study themselves approved to have an identity of who they are in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're admonished that we're to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the repentance of sins. That's the true salvation is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're admonished to study ourselves approved and to have an understanding to prepare to do the will of the Father and not our own will. Now, what Chris has brought up is that these people are doing their own will, and that's all bad.
Yeah, it's all flesh.
Okay, so this movement with Hagee, all bad. Movement with Glenn Beck, all bad. All not in Christ. All out of Christ. And now they're coming together, and metaphorically that is a... You could say, Bill, we could go just paraphrase that the thistles and briars are starting to enclose in the multitude of people because they're all in idol worship and they're ensnared by this false doctrine.
Right. It's the Zionists are the serpents. The Dominionists are the scorpions. I'm telling you, these people have not liked each other for a long time. They're not friends. This Dominionist movement, the British Israel and the Zionists, they've never been friends. But they're coming together out of necessity.
Yeah.
It always works. The story is even in the King of the North and the King of the South. It's the same. They're codependent.
Yeah.
They have to join together. They're like the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
It's like the Gambinos and the Genoveses.
There you go.
On one level, they're all bad, but everybody at the time thought, oh, well, they're not that bad. But they are.
Yeah.
They find a common ground where they both feel that they can... they both feel can benefit from, see.
Right.
And this is the classic two-house twist.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, as he joined the stick of Judah with the stick of Israel. As you know, they were split up after Solomon's kingdom. And Jesus joined it all together into spiritual Israel, into one house at the cross. So they're going to try to duplicate that in the flesh. Yeah. This is actually prophesied, and we were looking at earlier this evening. This is prophesied in 2 Chronicles 34, if you could, in the spiritual rendering. I'm going to read the last part of verse 8. It says, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And he was speaking into physical. There's a physical layer of history there at that time. But there's also, I'm going to give you the spiritual rendering of this. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered that money, or the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that had kept the doors had gathered of the land of Manasseh and Ephraim. There's your multitude right there, Manasseh
yes.
and Ephraim. And the remnant of Israel, that's British Israelism, that's the 10 tribes. And all of Judah, that's the southern two tribes, Benjamin and Jerusalem. And they returned to Jerusalem. Returning to Jerusalem is when Jesus gathered everything at the cross and gathered it all into spiritual Jerusalem above. Now they're trying to copy this exact same thing in the flesh. You got the remnant of Israel right here is the lost 10 tribes. That's your dominionist movement. You got Glenn Beck moving into that with Manasseh and Ephraim, claiming they're right. The multitudes. And you got the Zionists or the Judah and Benjamin. It's all right there in verse 9. And that's what they're trying to copy right now.
Right.
And you, the audience, you're the temple of the Lord. You are to have the understanding to prepare yourself as a holy vessel to do the Lord's will. Sin no more and go.
Right, and how you do that is you have to have a fertile soil to plant that. Remember we discussed the parable of the seed where he plants the seed in the soil? Well, it's a repentive heart is what makes that soil fertile. That's the soil. That's what makes the soil fertile to plant the seed is a repentant heart. And then the Jesus comes in. He says, "I shall come in and heal you."
And it is the word that heals you.
Yeah, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. There's your triune matrix right there: faith, hearing, word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word.
And line upon line, precept upon precept, audience, the truth of Scripture in the King James Version Bible is telling this whole story right now, live and current. These physical manifestations that are being televised all over the world with Japan, the Gulf of Mexico, the horrendous amount of earthquakes that are going on. We identify earthquakes as tribulation. These are individual tribulations you, the temple of the Lord, go through to prepare yourself to do the will of the Father, to be purified.
Yes.
And on a global basis, scriptures are being revealed that the whole of the world, the inhabitants of the earth, are going to fall for these idol worship snares. And there you have the identity of the woman that rode the beast. It's the church now.
That's right.
And Jesus says, come out of her. That's the church. Come unto me. That's come to your Lord Jesus Christ. And you enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the proper rendering of that is to clean up your act. If you have a filthy mind, you're not able to come into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, but he heals you.
Right.
It is the will of the Father that you know this. His burden is light. These people have been propagating that you know flesh is good, audience, but no man knoweth your heart. And if you repent, you'd start changing your thoughts about life and start focusing on our Lord. And I mean focus. And you receive his rest and you feel that in your heart, that
and
rest.
Then you don't have the burden of setting the kingdom up here on the world.
No.
That's a heavy yoke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Building God's kingdom for him?
Oh, you know, when all this happens in when you're entered into the Lord's Sabbath rest,
yeah.
You know, this incredibly amazing verse that Bill just read in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, you know, it's just this is intended to be an example for admonition upon those upon whom the end of the age has come. You know, us now, the spiritual, Israel of God. And we're supposed to interpret this spiritually now. Because believe me, this is happening spiritually. That whole verse, you know,
this whole verse is happening spiritually,
you know,
yes.
The fact that, Ephraim and Manasseh, their plight in the Old Testament is the example of the apostate church, the true believers that are restored during the tribulation. That's who these people are. That's who these identities are. And it's the two witnesses, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yep.
Multitudes. These are these signatures. Bill put this fantastic study together this a couple weeks ago. Martha. You know, did we talk about that on the show? Because that was huge, Bill. You know, Martha is the...
You know, let's recount that, Bill.
Because that's a really great observation you made, Bill.
Yeah, anytime you see a double speak like that, it's not in there because they, God was stuttering. He didn't have a stuttering problem.
No.
And so they didn't waste the time to write extra words in there for no reason. It's an identifier. All through Scripture, you'll find that evil has two factions. And also you will find, because the multitude is confused, they're of a confused mind, there is, as it says in James, where he says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. They're unstable. So this is why you see the devil speak, multitudes. And in this case, Martha. In many other cases, Lord, Lord. They say, oh, Lord, Lord, we did, you know. And it's because it's a state of a double-mindedness, confusion. So Martha's running all over the house trying to, she's the church. She's representative of the church in that story. And she's trying to get the church choir all set up for when Jesus comes, and make sure that everybody has a hymn book, and to make sure that all the collection trays are out, and the pallbearers are there to do their work, and there's your security guards by the back door, and that the cameras are all set, and the big screen TVs are up, and that's the church. That's what's Martha. She's running around doing all of this silly nonsense. And the other sister, the younger sister, this is classic because the older sister answers the door. Martha's the one that answers the door. That tells you that she's the older sister. She's the elder. And we know the story all through the Bible, the first and the second. The younger sister, Mary, she enters into an intimate relationship with the Lord. She's listening to him. She's studying. And she's she's the 144,000. Martha's the multitude there. Now, when you get over to John, they do discuss this in, I forget which chapter in John, where it's Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And he says that he loves Martha. So
very important, Bill.
He loves the multitude. She's the five virgins. In fact, I'll tell you, the 10 virgins, the 10 is perfect. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. That means it's perfect. He's got 10 perfect... Five of them are wise and five of them are foolish. In other words, he has grace for both of them. He loves both of them. Five is the number of grace. Five of them are wise, five of them are foolish. It's a big key numbers there. Martha is the five foolish virgins. She's but God still loves her. Jesus still loved Martha. And Mary is the five wise virgins. And Jesus loves her too.
And at the heart is that love. Jesus loves Martha. She's trying to do the good, right. Yeah, she's trying to please the Lord.
Right.
And trying to serve the Lord. And
right. her problem is she's confused. As long as the person's confused, they're okay. It's when you have got that iniquity in the heart and you can't be changed. That's when you're in danger. When you think you know. It's what you know, or you're confused, or you think you know. You know is the 144,000. you think you know is the tares. You're confused is the wheat. As long as you're in state of confusion, you could be you could still be recovered.
And you're likened to a calf in stall on the milk of Scripture.
Yeah.
And we recount well unto you that give suck. Well, that's the woman that's giving suck the milk is the idle shepherd. They're not giving the meat of Scripture, and that's in your church on your corner, that's in the Pope's church, that's in Glenn Beck's church, that's in Kufi's church.
Because once you get the meat of Scripture, you realize you don't need them. You realize there isn't a church. You realize you could just fellowship with anybody you like, any place you like, when two or more are in my name, you know. So then you learn all that. That's the meat of Scripture. That's part of the meat of Scripture. Then what use do you need for these people? These people want to be your mediator.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. They want
with
to be your
death
mediator.
Death and hell, they have made agreement.
That's right.
And our Lord will disannul that agreement. He will not let them consummate that agreement one way or the other.
Right, and you could come now or be dragged out, but he's not going to stand for it.
You will be hooked.
And what they want to do, I'm sorry, Bob. You will be hooked, right. You will be hooked.
And led to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just like Lot was picked up and put outside the city.
This is sobering news, audience.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
It is, because it's real. and it's big. Because has a tremendous following.
And millions and millions.
Got a tremendous following.
Millions because, and millions.
You know,
I see World War III being fomented right now.
Yeah,
I see the final, what they needed, the final element to do this.
By the time Glenn Beck speaks at this conference in July, oh boy.
Is that, yeah, I can imagine.
This is ramp up time.
This little circus clown is going to be lighting them up there, man.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. And he'll be pointing them back to the founding fathers.
Oh, yeah, right, the founding fathers. See, they all want light. They're just like the Christian Pharisees. They want light. They want the light all at once. They don't want the circumcised heart. They just want the light all at once.
Yeah.
And this is what the Christian Pharisees did. This, I mean, the old Pharisees when Jesus was there. The deceitfulness of riches blinds them.
Their flashlights have no batteries.
They're full of deceitful of richness, and they want the light all at once. And Jesus, you know, that's why they go, show us a sign, man. Hey, do us a Jesus trick. And he says, you're not worthy of a sign. Well, you know, Nicodemus was one of the few that he kept going over there in the night and sneaking over there and sneaking to see Jesus and getting a little bit of light. You know, until finally, what's this reborn thing you're telling me about this? I'm trying to figure this out. Can you tell me more about this being reborn? And, you know, and Nicodemus got a little light at the time and a little more and a little bit more, see. And then he finally made it. You know, Nicodemus made it as he was carrying the 100 pounds of birth. He was the big heavy lifter. But these other guys, you know, they just want, give us the light now, man. Show us the Jesus trick. We want the kingdom now. It's got to be in Israel. We're going to go set it up now. That's the mentality. And it's because it's the deceitfulness of riches that blinds them. They want the riches of the kingdom and the glory of the kingdom.
And if you're not prepared for this, you're being misled, because it's not us that are telling you that the church is leavened. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. It's not us going over current events and saying this is one identity or this is another identity. That's revelation. That's what's happening currently. And those of you in the audience who are on the other side of the plumb line, all through Scripture, you will find, if you do a study on meekness, as Moses was, who is the ensample, you will begin to find that the Lord hears you. He doesn't hear them. He hears you. Because now that you know these things, the flesh starts to dissipate and the spiritual understanding of scriptures starts to play out.
Yeah.
In Psalms 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And an audience that preparing of the heart, that's the Lord prepares your heart to do his will in your generation. That's from the beginning, now, and forever. And all through scriptures, after the Lord is pointed out through the prophets, and his gospel is preached, and you learn the Lord's gospel because you study the word and you have the proper rendering of scriptures, then you are communing with the Lord, and the Lord reveals exactly what's going on to you to do his will.
Amen.
Now, we're described in Revelation that there's a famine on the land. It's not for food. It's for the word of God. Okay? So in our generation, we know that to be true. You go to any bookstore, and you will find there are 60 versions of the Bible in one King James, if you're lucky. If it be the Lord's will that you find it.
Yeah.
That's at Target or the resale bookshop. Okay, so the diminished word of God is true. The famine is on the land. You find spiritually, in Psalms 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Now, when we do the current events, it always astounds me, and I'm sure it would be the same with Brother Bill and Brother Chris, that when Kufi signed on Glenn Beck to be their guest speaker, it was a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, right.
Because we know the scriptures say that the serpents and scorpions will come together. They are a house divided, but they come together. They're in the house.
And it's actually in Daniel chapter 11. You can go find it there. That they come together and keeps running over and over.
And it is you, audience, who are the guide in your life. You are the light of the world to everybody around you. Because in Psalms 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. So now you go to Revelation, you find that it'll be the Lord who teaches you these things. And is teaching every day. And if you stay in the Word, you will understand everything that's going on in terms of what you're to do for the will of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where you're at, he knows every hair on your head, and you are a prepared vessel to do his will and to enter into covenant. That is the burden is light after that, audience. The flesh stuff is just unreal. Gentlemen,
you don't
believe this?
Build the Tower of Babel. You don't have to go out and put Christmas lights on your house for 6 hours and like Chevy Chase. And
yeah.
And it always does my heart good. Our dear sister Sue Patterson couldn't have said it better. She was a time in her life where she wanted to do the Lord's will, and she wanted to go where the Lord would lead her. And she got in her car, and whatever logistics she had just enough money to do, go find a job and get an apartment and do the will of the Lord. And I recall this story because she said she was driving down the street, and it was revealed to her that, you know, why do you want to go hide under a basket? I want your light to shine. And she was coming to the end of her finances to wherever she was going. And at that time, she said she moved a half mile away from where that happened. That's where her business is now.
Yeah, it's quite
where her house
amazing.
Is.
Quite amazing.
And that's prepared for you, audience, to do the will of the Lord. These are good things. Bill, we were talking about being a good steward of your house in the escape show. Mm-hmm. And audience, being a good steward of your house is right where you're at right now. You are the temple of the Lord. And everything on the outside that we're going over in current events is actually manifesting. Whether it be the Middle East uprisings, we have absolutely no idea how horrendous this Japanese nuclear holocaust is going to be. And I assure you, the Gulf of Mexico, in terms of polluted and decaying and dying life, is
right.
going
yeah,
to
they
be...
can't call a pool company to go clean that up.
No.
And, you know, really the thing is when the effects of this nuclear disaster in Japan, you know, it's going to be like somewhere in the summer when the second quarter earnings reports come in, yeah. when they're going to really see the effect of this thing. And I really think this summer, man, is just going to be the economy. The economy cannot sustain itself much past this summer.
It's not going to be able to sustain $200 a barrel oil, I'll tell you that.
No. And this is it. They're definitely... I mean, I did listen to some talk radio this week, and my gosh, I mean, they're all talking the same thing, you know, about the they're just absolutely pulling out the making the moves to collapse the United States yep. now, you know, right. Well, the whole global economy. But
and when that happened in World War II, we're in the same situation, which is key, audience.
On a bigger scale.
Right? Same
scale.
Situation, tenfold, right?
On steroids.
On steroids.
Okay, and you have an understanding that your U.S. citizens, audience, we're broadcasting from the United States and partially from Canada, by the bill. but
it's all the same. It's just got veneers. It's all a North America. It's already a North American Union. Everybody's going, oh, no, we're not going to have a North American Union. No North American Union. No Euro. Yeah, I got news for you. They had it 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they just kept the names Canada, Mexico.
Well, really, the European Union came out of World War II.
Of course. See, they're always looking to – they keep a veneer on it to fool you, see? Oh, we'll still call you France, but...
It's all veiled. If you're not in our Lord Jesus
it's
Christ,
veiled,
it's
right.
veiled to you, audience. That is the proper rendering of Scripture, is that the flesh veils this. Yeah. So if you're seeking fleshly things and not spiritual things, everything you have is given by the Lord. So you count yourself blessed that you have everything that you have or everything you don't have. And right. you don't covet your neighbor's car. You know, these proper renderings of Scripture are very milk without substance. The top layer of Scripture is all the truth of the Ten Commandments, and
that's right.
All of these things are true. The law is true, but we're not under the law. But the law is true. That Jesus didn't come to change the law. It's just that it's a measuring stick that we'll never be able to achieve in the flesh.
Right. Right.
And if you're following...
He's going to achieve that in our hearts. See, when he comes into our hearts and writes that on our fleshly tablets of our heart, as Paul says, that's the light yoke. Then he takes over inside you and grows inside you. And then the law... See, the law's not an obstacle for him. It's a big obstacle for you. It's a big obstacle for the flesh. But Jesus has overcome all of that.
Yeah.
So Christ in you, and you overcome it.
Absolutely. Audience, that's the proper rendering of Scripture. That's how you prepare yourself as a holy vessel, a holy temple. You are the temple of the Lord. Built on the teachings, the foundational teachings of the apostles. And the apostles were fallible men that were... Bill, can we go into the 6-7-8 cycle flesh, man?
Yeah, man is just, you know, that's the best man can do, number six. And he just can't go past that. And then obviously, you know, when you're broken, you reach, whether it's on a collective state or individual state or whatever, you know, the Lord comes, you know, you repentance, you get into number seven. then when you're walking in seven, you know, the key thing is not to move on to number eight. You know, don't start mixing the flesh back in with Jesus. You know, Jesus and the flesh doesn't mix. It's like oil and vinegar or whatever.
It's a snare.
Yeah, the flesh is the vinegar, and the Spirit of the Lord is the oil.
And this is what we see happen in the church, because the church didn't stay in the seven.
They didn't stay in the seven.
Yeah, it didn't stay in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, the seventh spiritual kingdom, and went on to the eighth. It went on to the kingdom of Edom, the spiritual kingdom of Edom, which is what we have today now. And this dominionist movement merging with the Zionist movement is absolutely the manifestation of the spirit of Edom, the kingdom of Edom, really on the spiritual layer, because you know there's a physical manifestation, absolutely, but this is their spiritual signatures, are the spiritual kingdom of Edom. It's all there, all the dynamics that took place in the kingdom of, you know, the Herodian kingdom during the time of the crucifixion, the time of Christ, is repeating today. This is all ascended. It's all ascended. Back to power, and this is what we have, and it's so timely. You know, it's just amazing, because you know I knew I had it in my heart. You know, the Lord really revealed it to me that we needed to do this study. You know, this Revelation 13, Revelation 17 study. I knew it was time, thinking that this could possibly be the last time we do this. You know, I mean, I don't know. Whatever, but I mean, this is the time to get this material, folks, because the understanding the Lord has given us.
It's not material, Chris. It's the gospel. It's this time to get the gospel, audience. Proper rendering of Scripture.
You know, I just put together the Mighty Hunter and the Cunning Hunter, and I've been working on it for 2 years.
Yeah, that's what this is.
The Lord just showed it to me, just you know, like today. The mighty hunter is Israel. That's the first beast. The cunning hunter is the lying false prophet.
And they lie in wait and have the attributes of serpents and scorpions. They sting you. Go ahead, Bill.
Right. There's only two hunters in the Bible. So this is always, I said, you know, it's so simple what I saw today. You go back to the same basic formula of the first and the second. The mighty hunter Nimrod, that's Israel.
Yeah,
and they just come right out. They're the Antichrist. There's no subtlety. They don't need any subtlety. The cunning hunter is the church. They're the one that needs the subtle lies. They're the ones that need the false prophet. As a matter of fact, the story is in Acts chapter 13. I would like to take a few minutes. And
absolutely,
address.
Brother Bill.
John, Paul, and Barnabas are returning from, I believe. Is it Antioch here? They're returning to Antioch. And in verse 5, I think John parts ways. John goes back, I believe, to Jerusalem. Then we have Barnabas and Paul going, they're traveling in verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. So this guy is a false prophet. He's a Jew whose name is Bar-Jesus with a capital B. This is the church today, by the way. This is it right here. Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus. Jesus says, there'll be many that come in my name saying they are Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He's a false prophet right here.
Wow.
Now, there's a certain deputy in verse number 7. Which was the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So as Paul and them are passing through, this guy, Sergius Paulus, you notice the U.S. on both of those, so he's Roman, Sergius, Paulus, and he's a prudent man. He'd like to hear about the word of the Lord. So he calls upon Barnabas and Saul to give him the word of the Lord. Now this guy named Elymas, he's the sorcerer. He's the second sorcerer in the Bible, the false prophet. The first one was in Acts chapter 8, which was Simon the sorcerer. Well, so is the name of his interpretation. So it's because they're interpreting him as being a sorcerer. So this guy is from the church of Bar-Jesus. He's saying, I'm Christ. He's saying, I'm the Christ. which stood them. Okay, he said he's seeking to turn them, the deputy, that's the guy that, that called for Paul, Sergius Paulus, to turn him away from the faith. Now, in verse 9, then Paul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. He's filled with the Holy Ghost now. He set his eyes on him and said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief." So he's accusing this guy of being full of subtlety and mischief. You know, that's your cunning hunter. "Thou art the child of the devil." That's what Paul calls him, a child of the devil. "The enemy of the righteous. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord?" So he says, will you not stop your ways in perverting? You know, you're just in total perversion. "And behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt blind and not see for the sun for a season." So Paul just blinded him right there. "And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness." So there's a mist and a darkness that falls on him. He can't see. "And when he went about seeking some to lead him by hand." So in other words, he had to have somebody lead him by hand and take him away. "Then the deputy which saw this was done," the deputy right there that they were coming to see, Sergius Paulus, "believing, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Being, you know, that's what astonished him, was the doctrine. That's where Paul got the power, the dunamis power, the doctrine. He has the two doctrine. That's why there's no power in the church. They got no doctrine.
Yeah, they have no, it's the truth, yeah. The power is in the truth.
And this astonishment, audience, is likened unto a strike.
Yeah, and, likened to a strike.
And when you look at this on a deeper level, you're seeing that this man was just a very comprehensive man that wanted to hear the truth. Okay, and a likened unto an evil man tried to divert him from the truth, and the proper mist, like a mist, that's a cataract. Okay, so yep. This man was blinded by a cataract on the spot. He had to be led away, and that is what's happening now in this generation. Brother Bill?
Yeah, hold on, my phone is ringing here.
Yeah, I have a, you know, what we're talking about with the power is in the doctrine, in the truth.
Sorry about that.
That has to be coupled with coming from a humble servant. And I know Psalms 51:17 just speaks to me. Because I'm experiencing this in my life. I'm realizing the importance of it. You know, we get all the knowledge and understanding, but... You know, the Lord's just been working on me so much lately with, you know, bitterness I've had towards my, you know, this, I've been through some serious betrayal, you know, family and friends and all this stuff. And I've been, you know, justifying, you know, or trying to get people to agree with me how, you know, whatever. And it's just like I knew that I couldn't keep going like that. I had to get free of it because I want that power, because I know that this is what people can't respond to words. It's got to come with power behind it. And, you know, Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." I mean, that's the key, you know, and I'm learning this because I'm experiencing it. You know, I've had a couple people tell me that what I'm saying to them you know, has been really powerful. The Holy Spirit's used, you know, stuff I've said. And I don't feel any different, but I do know that there is something going on with this because it's a lesson I'm learning, and I know that we are called to this condition of a contrite heart, that, you know, to face the times ahead. You know, this is what's, you know, absolutely imperative, because otherwise you're going to be beating your head against the wall, you know, with trying to serve the Lord and you know, to do it in our own strength, you know, with the knowledge, because you got to have the power, because we see that, you know, we've seen this pattern with Jesus. You know, he'd go into the desert for 40 days, you know, and fasting, and just
emptied of himself. He emptied of himself. That's how he got the power.
That's it.
He emptied of himself.
And Chris, just because of your testimony, would you attest that it is the Lord preparing you to do His will?
Amen. I mean, amen.
And everything that happened.
I didn't release this bitterness myself. He took it from me. I mean, it's just all of a sudden one day it dawns on me. Oh my gosh, I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm not feeling, not having a pity party or anything like that. I mean, the Lord's definitely taken it from me, and it's wonderful. Because I just don't need to go there anymore. Because I do know this is where we need to be. And I give the Lord all the glory for this one, for sure.
And that's the testimony of the Sabbath Rest audience.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
you know,
Jesus
emptied himself on the cross still. He could have tapped in and had the angels come down. He could have wanted the power, tapped into the power, and had the angels come down. But he emptied himself on the cross. Still he was there emptying himself, still doing the Father's will. Emptying himself of the will of the flesh, emptying himself of the worldly, everything. And the power of the Father there and the shed blood on the cross that sealed the covenant and saved the whole world.
And I'm looking at this word contrite, and it's very interesting. You know, primitive root, physically or mentally to collapse, break, sore, contrite, crouch. And then it says compare, 1790 is, crushed, that is injured, afflicted, oppressed. And this is something we've seen before, beat to pieces, break, bruise, contrite, crush, destroy, humble, oppress, smite. These terms, just it's about the flesh. You know, these are the terms that we should apply to our flesh. You know, we have to crush our flesh. And, where do we read where it's pounded into, crushed into powder?
In Daniel.
Yeah.
The rock that crushes the statue is our Lord Jesus Christ, and these kingdoms are crushed into powder and destroyed.
Yeah, and this is the flesh in us. I think, I see that there.
Right, you died to the flesh, and then the second, even Pete Wilson had I was quite amazed, I was watching his last video. You die to the flesh, and then the second death have no effect on you, as it says in Revelation.
Yes.
In other words, that the first death is dying to the flesh, and then the physical death has no effect upon you. And I'd never seen that layer in Scripture before.
Absolutely. That's at truthinscripture.com, audience, which is Pete Wilson is in the truth, and he has multimedia.
He's out there fighting the good fight.
Yes, standing alone. He's a holy temple of the Lord doing the Lord's will. And you've had nothing but truth come out of that. All the remnant ministries are quickening to...
Yeah, they're quickening.
To prepare Scripture as to apply to what's going on in our generation, and the Scripture upon Scripture is telling the same story.
And, we talk about when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel, flee, and he will take away the daily. Whatever we're saying about this is a future event. I mean, I have a hard time imagining it getting any worse than it is right now, because this is what happened. The daily sacrifice has been taken, from the sanctuary, and because of this verse in Psalms. I mean, does it say, for thou desire not sacrifice, else I would give it to thee, thou delightest not in burnt offerings. That God doesn't want these fleshly sacrifices. He wants the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, and a contrite heart. It says, I'm going to read it word for word.
That creates a fertile soil to plant the seed.
For the seed to grow. These words are just beautiful. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. So, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. This is one that's just freed of anything, any guile, any you know, fleshly desires. And see, this is the problem, because this isn't taking place in the corporate church anymore, because the people in the corporate church have no fear of God, because they've been flatterized for 50, 60 solid years coming from these pulpits, and the gospel message, like Bob said, you know, this gospel is completely diminished. Because this
That's
is
why there's
gospel.
No power there.
You want to ask me what the gospel is? This is the gospel right here. You know, empty yourself and empty have a contrite yourself. Heart and a broken spirit, because then the Lord can use you. You know,
blessed are they who are in poor in spirit, for they shall come into the kingdom of heaven. Or
humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up.
It can happen to you, audience, anywhere, right now. Right now, the word of the Lord is in front of you. You're hearing the true scriptures being rendered properly, and it is you who enters in to covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever your situation is in your house, it doesn't matter, because the Lord has more for you to do. He has His will to do. And other people around you just will not recognize this. There's very few that understand the proper rendering of scriptures for the Lord's reason, not for their own reasons. And we're admonished, you know, pray that you are not deceived. And there, the deception is on the land.
Amen.
The inhabitants of the earth are under the greatest deception that's ever been.
You're surrounded by serpents and scorpions. You're surrounded, Jerusalem is surrounded with armies right now, all in the spirit. You know, Jerusalem is the body of Christ, and they're surrounded.
In putting on our Lord Jesus Christ, the armor of Ephesians 6, the armor of light, enables you to view who you are in our Lord Jesus Christ, to do His will in His covenant. And everybody that's not in this doesn't see it coming at all. They are blind. And we're not to put a stumbling block in front of the blind. We're to help the blind see. We're to preach the word. The word will make them see, not us, if it be the Lord's will. And when I say not us, that's you, audience. Brother Bill?
Yeah, amen. It's the, you know, the church is what puts the stumbling block in front of them. It's the blind leading the blind into a ditch, and then they both fall off into the ditch. You know, I was looking at Matthew 23. I keep going back to that chapter, the eight woes, and I found the Zionist and the Dominionist right in verse 15. Well, actually, verse 14, he says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses." So, you know, they come to the church and they have no husband, Jesus. They devour their houses. And for repentance, and they make long, for repentance, pretense, they make long prayers. So that's what you're going to see at this Kufi meeting, is long prayers.
Oh, boy.
For repentance. So he says they're going to receive the greater damnation. But then the next verse, he says, once again, as he woes scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for he compassed the sea and land. There it is right there. You know, the sea is the Leviathan, that's Zionism. The land is the church, that's dominion, to make one proselyte. So they're going to try to gather them together into one proselyte. And when he is made, he make him twofold, the child of hell, than yourself. So it's going to be even worse.
And we knew this as soon as we heard it.
Yeah.
This was, I think it was Tuesday I heard it. I was like, oh, boy, that's moving along faster than I could ever imagine.
And, you know, it's so timely because, you know, I know we're running, you know, the Lord just took us in another direction tonight. And, you know, this is what we do here because, you know, obviously the Lord had stuff to get out. You know, we're all just so amazed at what He's showing all of us. And, you know, we just look forward every week to come together like we're doing now. And I'm just, you know, it's just been a privilege to be with you guys tonight. I got to just tell you that, you know, I get so edified myself. You know, I'm a listener too.
Me too.
You know,
yes,
I'm right along with you. But anyway, it's just amazing. But, you know, we did leave off on Revelation 13:4. And, you know,
we can go there now.
It's so appropriate because this is what we're talking about. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? See, this is what this is all about, what Bill said. You know, Bill has always maintained that he couldn't, neither one of these factions could do it on their own. Zionism wasn't strong enough, or Dominionism standing alone. But now that they're together, as you know, they still have issues. You know, they're not that fond of each other in a lot of areas.
It's always going to be a house divided.
Yes, but this is Satan's final government.
Yeah,
these are the inhabitants in the earth are going to be under Satan's final government, and these elected offices are coming.
Yeah.
On a spiritual level, the serpents and scorpions are coming out from under the rocks.
Right.
And now they're going to fight for food.
And it's still hard for me to put it all into words, but I can see this. I can feel how this thing's going to transpire. And like I bet you I can just give you a quick overview, a brushstroke here of, okay, by July, things are going to be really bad. I mean, things are going to get really. I mean, by the time July comes along and Glenn Beck is standing on the stage with Hagee, and they're, you know, who knows? People might start to be crying out. You know, this is what we've been maintaining, that people aren't crying out yet. It hasn't gotten that bad for them to. And see, the good thing is that the multitude will surface up out of this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all for God's purpose. All this stuff, because this is absolutely going to be the distinction between the wheat and the tares, because this is the thing that's going to turn the tares black. And okay, here we are, the beginning of 2011. We've got a year and a quarter, a year and a half till the next election, and I'll bet that they've got this thing so it's I think that by the time the election comes along in 2012, that things are going to be so bad, they're going to collapse the economy. By that time, the people are going to be just begging for something, and this thing is going to be it. This is going to be the answer, and this is going to be where the real deception comes in, because this is not the answer. This is the Antichrist peace and safety kingdom that we are clearly warned about in Scripture, and this is it. And how it's all going to transpire, where are the martyrs? They're probably in there. They're probably between this and that, but it's out of the ashes of this Phoenix America that they are absolutely collapsing intentionally now.
They did this to Nazi Germany, by the way. And guess who voted Hitler in? Guess who got Hitler in?
The religion.
All the Christian churches.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's a repeat. It's absolutely a repeat.
It's a repeat. It's just the Fourth Reich, that's all.
But there's some heavy stuff coming. There's something, you know, and like, you know, April 19th is a blood sacrifice day for the Satanists. And it's always a huge day, you know. Waco, that's the day that the platform blew up last year with 11 people died. You know, something's coming. I don't know, you know, this thing with Japan. I'll tell you, I'm going to sit here, conspiracy nut. I don't care what you want to say. I think they did it. You know, I think that thing was. I think that's a HAARP thing. It all fits.
We'll never know the truth, but I can't discount exactly what you're saying, Chris.
I'm just saying, I think.
Regardless, one way or the other, the nuclear fallout's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be absolutely devastating. So, and by the time this affects the bottom line, I mean, you know, all the Japanese car manufacturers are ceasing production in North America. It's all, you know, this thing's coming down. You know, they're collapsing this house of cards. And people are just going to be crying out. They're going to be crying out. And, you know, God's going to protect those who are accounted worthy to escape these things. Who knows how it's all going to play out.
But I'd like to tell you where you can find it all. In the book of Job, it's all there.
Job?
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably right, there. Bill. Job is a tribulation.
Yep.
And right now, audience, as we just went over Revelation 13:4, you're told, and you need to be aware of this, Okay, they worshipped the beast. And in the metaphorical understanding of this beast, okay, and in the proper rendering of scripture in this beast, is a dangerous animal. Think of a cornered rat, think of a cornered lion. And it's venomous and it's wild. Okay, so yeah. All the metaphors that apply to beast, they are applying in our generation, and it says, who is able to make war with him? Okay, and you, audience, the holy temple of the Lord, that doesn't dwell in the flesh, that is in the spirit, have the Ephesians 6 armor to understand this, because it's an engagement, it's warfare, it's a battle, it's to make war. That is saying that the beast is going to make war with everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, and right. They're going to try beast- and they are going to try and kill your soul now.
And then, you know, Bill, you said 13:5. You had a great, you know, with the word continue. It says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. It's huge, isn't it, Bill?
Right. Yes, I learned, actually, James Lloyd was the one that tuned me into that. So that, you know, he's already going to be in there. You're going to vote the Antichrist in, the Antichrist right. beast. You know, the beast is man in his collective sense. Man is the beast. He's Leviathan. And it says, who can make war with him? If you go back and read chapter 41 about Leviathan, this is pride. This is man built up all of his pride in a collective sense. It says you can't make war with him. It's all right there. And, you know, and it says nothing will work against him. It says the slingshot of David won't work. You can't pierce his scales. So in the flesh, you know, this beast that's coming, you're not, you know, we have a spiritual battle. And then, but fleshly, we're not going to, you know, you can forget it. The Patriot Movement's not going to stop Leviathan.
No.
And
the audience, Patriot Movement. The Patriot Movement is Leviathan.
In our
it is. Think about it, for goodness' sake.
Of course.
In
I
our
agree.
Position show. You know,
pride.
How are you positioned? Well, as we look through the scriptures, we're looking down on this whole battle. And if you don't have the proper rendering of scriptures and you're not relating, if you're throwing stumbling blocks in front of people, okay, when you're looking down on this, you're looking at a great multitude of people that are in a valley. And they are in this valley and they have no idea that the pride of man, the biggest, you could say, earthquake that's on the top of this valley, like a landslide, like a tsunami event, is just going to come and cover the multitude of people that are standing in the valley. Because the valley is the valley of decision. You either follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, or you follow this pride of man that will sweep you away like a flood.
That's it.
And if you're not prepared for this and you don't have the proper covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ to do his will, it's such an astonishing act that even if you were told in advance, you couldn't believe it. And that's the proper rendering of scripture.
We're not going to even, that's why we have to be in thy chamber. You know, we have to enter into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. Folks, we need to be there. We need to be there because what is coming is going to be so over the top. Men's heart will fail them. And it's just going to be, it's something that we really need to prepare for. And
in
thy I don't
chamber
know what it
and
is.
Close the door is Noah's Ark, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to enter into the Ark.
Your house needs to be in order.
The covenant is the ark. We have to be in covenant.
The covenant with the Lord is Jesus Christ is the ark, right?
That's where the protection is. We've got his yoke. You know, we've cut covenant with him, and you know, we're obedient. We're keeping our end of the bargain because we're maintaining our obedience, and that's it. Because we can, because we're in the Sabbath rest. We're staying in the seventh. We're not going on to the eighth into perdition, which is you know, when what happened to Israel. Israel went into perdition. God divorced Israel. And it was for the same thing that's going on today. Israel today is going through the same thing. Idolatry, pride.
We look at, that's right, idolatry and pride. That's what Leviathan is. That's who this beast is. Man just turns into a total beast on a collective sense.
Yeah.
You know, on an individual layer too. You know, verse 6 is interesting too. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. So he's blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven.
And then the
that's got to be the 144,000, right?
Yeah, the 144,000, the true right. remnant of God, the yeah. Israel of God, the true Israel. That's, you know, all of Israel is not Israel.
Right? They're blaspheming the truth.
Right. Wow.
And they don't even know what's coming on.
The triune matrix is right in that, by the way. God, tabernacle, heaven, right there.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm surrounded by these people. That have, they're just looking for the, oh, he's busy because he's working on the windmills. His company's busy because the green movement is, you know, got some, you know, the company's busy because of making parts for the windmills or some nonsense like that. But everybody's got their hope in this world. And oh my gosh, this world is about to be stripped from the church, because this is what's going to happen. You know, all the green grass will be burned up. And, you know, the multitude is going to be stripped of everything they're holding on to. You know, Jacob is in trouble. Jacob's trouble is coming, you know, but God is going to put a hook in thy jaw, you know, and turn them back towards him.
All good news. All good news.
All good news.
All good news for people.
The more you come willingly, the more you come along willingly, the better.
To serve the Lord. There's no better time in existence than to serve the Lord now.
Oh man, there's nothing like it.
And you're looking at, we still can't come to agreement on scriptures in terms of all spiritual or physical manifestations. So you have a definite spiritual understanding, as we're admonished at the cross, that this is a spiritual kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. And if you're sitting, looking down at this situation, and all the players are identified, you are seeing the spiritual recapitulation of our Lord Jesus Christ in his time, and the battles that he had with the Pharisees, the scribes, are the battles that you have, audience, not to be ensnared in this false doctrine, this wine, that's making everybody so drunk that they won't even read their Bible.
Because they're lazy. They'd rather sit there in a comfy
that's
chair
right.
and have a shepherd, you know.
Actually, verse 7 has got some. It's got spiritual and physical in it. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Verse 7, there it is right there, 7. That's your multitude, the saints.
Uh-huh.
So it was given power for him to make war with the saints and to overcome them.
Yeah.
And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. You're going to find kindreds, tongues, and nations back in Genesis chapter 10. These are the sons of Ham and their nations, and then their tongues and their kindreds. And you'll find the same with Shem, and you'll find the same with Japheth. In other words, these are the great multitude. Remember, it says a great multitude came of all kindreds, tongues, and nations in Revelation 7, I believe, or 14? 7, I think.
Yeah.
That followed behind 144,000. In other words, what he's telling you here in the physical, he's telling you kindreds, tongues, and nations. So that's everybody that came out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's what they're telling you. Now, that means that God scattered them all over the world, and in his multitude it's a spiritual multitude that comes out of these, and that's his asymmetrical remnant. That's his asymmetrical multitude that's all over the world. They're all of all kindreds, tongues, and nations. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 10.
Living in the Spirit.
Prepared, living in the Spirit now,
prepared
right.
Prepared as a holy vessel to do the will of the Lord. That's who's on this side of the plumb line, audience.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Now, who's on the outside of the plumb line? Well, they're likened unto being surrounded by thorns and thistles where you can't get out.
Yep. It's the Gentiles in the outer court.
Yes, and they made a covenant with death. And as they enter into this covenant of death, and time goes on where they're led falsely, they are like Martha. Jesus loves them just as much as he loves everybody else that is in Christ, that is part of his kingdom. Now, right. It's going to be difficult for these people to reconcile that they're surrounded, but they will, because the Lord will reveal this to them. They will know Scripture just like we know Scripture. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free.
Right. Now we notice verse 8 is the following verse. There's your 8 of new beginnings right there. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. So those are your earth dwellers there. The saints were just in verse 7. They were of all kindreds, tongues. And now in verse 8, we're going to see what's left over. These are the serpents and the scorpions, the tares. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. So that's what's going to be left worshiping him. You know, that's the new beginnings, number 8. Whose names are not written in the book of life of Lamb, well, and slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. So he's telling you that's pretty important. Hello. Listen up.
Yes, it is. It's audience, this is Revelation. Now, we've studied from all the books of the prophets in our shows. And we followed various leadings of the Holy Spirit to cover as much scripture as was given to us. But when you switch into Revelations, now this is the accumulation of all the books of scripture. And now you have the proper identities of, you know, who's going to get killed at the end. And it's those who are not written in the book of life.
That's the serpents and scorpions.
And they don't know they're serpents and scorpions.
They don't know, right. They stay blinded forever. They're in the chains of dark. They're bound in the chains of darkness.
And you have power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and that's your doctrine. That's this gospel.
Boy, that's something we have to hold on to, because this is what we're going to be doing.
Yep. For God's purpose. That leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity.
Yeah.
So this is what, and he that killeth with the sword must kill it with the sword. So the serpents and scorpions that killed the multitude by leading them into captivity and killing them with the sword, they're going to be led into captivity and killed with the sword. You know, that's the second death. That's the great white throne judgment.
And no one realizes judgment.
Yeah.
They are not in judgment. Has just been it's been eradicated from this doctrine. But I can assure you, audience, you know the Lord tells it as Matthew 8:12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And this gnashing, audience, is it's as bad as you can get. It is equated to just going completely mad or being completely heartbroken. So heartbroken that you're separated from the Lord, and it's that chasm of Lazarus. You know, let me go tell my family that this is gonna befall them because I did see it coming. And Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man, as he's trying to get, you know, let me send word to my brothers and my sisters that this is so bad, I want to save them. And what the scriptures tell is that, well, if they won't listen to the prophets, and they won't listen to our Lord Jesus Christ, Why would they listen to you? That's right. The meat of Scripture, audience. The judgment of our Lord is as strong a doctrine as fear the Lord and not man.
Yeah, Loretta sent that email this week. There was a quote from an old preacher, Ryle. I think his name was, I can't remember his first name, but he said, he was of the mind that unregenerate man would kill God if he could get his hands on him.
And, you know, that's true. That's they already did it once. And will they do it again? Yeah.
Yeah, they will do it again.
That's what they're going to do with the multitude. Yeah, they killed Jesus when he was there. Gee, if Jesus walked into this church today, what if Jesus showed up at this John Hagee and Glenn Beck thing?
They wouldn't know him.
Oh, they wouldn't. They would have right. They wouldn't know him, right?
Well, that's what they say. If pastors, if Jesus preached like the pastors today, he wouldn't have been crucified.
That's for sure.
Now, audience, we went into. We're way off of our pre-show. We're going to cover more of Revelation 13 and move into 17 and compare the verses. We'll begin that next week.
Yeah, it's pretty much a play-by-play. This is Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Well, this is your program guide, folks, because it's real time now. So we saw Revelation 4 pretty much, the stage is set for that. The players were announced, I'm telling you, this is it. This is happening out in real time now. You better believe it. This is what's going on. So, we're going to just be tracking along with this thing. But we really feel like this is the time to get this study out, because this will be the time to really learn this stuff and hide it in your heart. I'm done. Go ahead, Bob. Thanks.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I'll finish off verse 10 there. He that leadeth into captivity goeth into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Then it says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Well, that's it right there. Jesus says, in your patience lies, possesses your soul. It's, the patience is standing in the Lord Jesus Christ and waiting on his returning. And patience in the tribulation. And now patience is a big study all over the Scripture, New Testament. And here is the patience and the faith of the saints right here.
Waiting on
powerful.
The Lord. Yeah, it's really awesome.
And I'll hand it over to you, Brother Bob.
Well, thank you both, Brother Chris, Brother Bill. Audience, in closing, I think that the pertinent idea for this generation and at this time through the Scriptures is to realize that the Word of God conveys the message to the heart. And if you're fearing these economic insecurities, you're fearing all of these things, it is of the Lord, because you are His children. You are to do His will, and He prepares you as such. But to give the proper rendering of this fear, because I can doomtard all day about Japan and radiation, Gulf of Mexico, the fleshly stuff. But in terms of Scripture, to understand the fear of God and His judgment, I'll just go over three verses. Luke 13:28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Set your sights, audience, on our Lord Jesus Christ. Enter into His covenant to do His will. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. Good night.
day. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. About a lion's at the door. They weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Walls, windows, trees, waves.